All right, well, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord's help this morning. Heavenly Father, we do just once again thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for this blessing of this family camp and for the opportunity to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another in Christ, and to hear from your word. And we ask this morning that we would hear from your word, that we would be led of your spirit, that your spirit would speak to us, that it would not be just words from man, but that it would be words from you. Help us to apply it to our lives, to put into practice what you've commanded us and what you've taught us. So we ask for your help this morning. We ask that you would be glorified and honored in all that is said here. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in Ephesians 6. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first four verses. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So I want to speak to you this morning on those four verses. And so first, I have an admonition to the children, or a word to you children. I already said this. It says there, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is a command from God. This is not a suggestion to you children. It does not matter if you are a Christian or you are not. This is a command that you children are to obey your parents. And you are to obey them in the Lord, for it is right. The Lord has put your parents in authority over you, and you are to obey them. And so when you disobey them, what does that mean? That means you're sinning, right? It means you are breaking God's commands. You are breaking His commands to you. You are doing what is displeasing to Him. And so you children are to obey your parents. This is from God. This is not just from your parents. Your parents tell you to obey, and they should. But it is from God that command comes. And so you children, I'm telling you this morning, this is from the Bible. This is from God's Word. Obey your parents. Submit to them and do as you are told. Some of you here profess to be Christians. You have said that the Lord has done a work in you. He has changed you. He has given you a new heart. Part of that new heart should be a desire to serve your parents, to obey your parents. Jesus says if you love one another, that the world will know that you are my disciples. Likewise, that love for your parents should show in the way that you obey them. If you love Jesus, as you say you do, you should obey your parents. And the world should see that. The world should see that you love your parents and that you obey your parents. And they should know that you are the disciples of Jesus. This is one way that we show a watching world that we are Christians, children, by obeying our parents. The world, I'm sure we've all seen it. The world's children do not obey. They don't think there's any value in their parents. Their parents are just people that don't know anything. And so they're going to do what they want to do. Well, you children should show that you love Christ by obeying your parents. This is a command from God. This is not just from your parents. So, he goes on here, Paul does, and in verse 4 there he says, "Fathers." So I want to address you fathers now, really fathers and mothers for the remainder of this time, but you children should listen because it still applies to you. There are things that I'm going to say that apply to each one of you children concerning discipline, concerning admonition, and bringing you up in the fear of the Lord, like Bob talked about last night. If we fear the Lord, these are things that we should be doing. So he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And really, another way that we could read that verse would be to nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. There's a lot of different translations out there. Some say bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A good way to say the verse, to translate it, would be to nurture your children, fathers and mothers, in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. Nurture means to bring them up, to bring them up to maturity. Discipline has to do with really a lot. It has to do with the whole training. This is a definition that I wrote down here from I forget who. But the whole training and education of children, the mind, morals, admonitions, reproof, and punishment. And then admonition, raise, nurture your children in the discipline and admonition. Admonition would be exhortation as belongs to the Lord or proceeds from Him. So that's what I want to look at this morning with us for the remainder of this time, are these three things here. The nurture, the discipline, and the admonition of our children. Paul addresses the fathers here, and so I will address you fathers first and say, this is your responsibility. This is not the responsibility solely of the mothers. The fathers are to lead in this. Paul addresses the fathers because the fathers are those who are to be leading their homes. The fathers should be foremost in really every area, but certainly in the discipline and the instruction of the children. And if you're failing in that, you're failing in what God has called you to as a father. This is not a light thing to raise our children. And it is a big responsibility. And we are responsible for really the well-being of our children. And that's more than just the physical well-being. It's the spiritual well-being and the instruction of them. And so, fathers, I'm exhorting you this morning to take this seriously. The discipline and the training of your children is not a light thing. It is a serious thing. So often we think of it as just something that we do according to our own understanding. We do it based upon what we think is best and right. But I want to show you this morning that it's more than that. And there is specific instruction for us in the Word. It is a serious thing. And to demonstrate that, you children, listen to this. We often think that the disobedience of children is just a light thing. They're young. They'll grow up and it'll get better as they understand more. Well, God sees it differently. If you remember the Old Testament, what was the punishment for disobedient children? Those who refused to be corrected and continued in their disobedience. What was it?
Death.
That's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? It's serious in the eyes of the Lord that that children would be disobedient to their parents. In Romans 1, verse 30 here, Paul gives a list of just some terrible things. Terrible things. He says here, I'll read it to you. He says, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. And then he throws in there, disobedient to parents. It's a serious thing to disobey your parents. What's worse, disobeying your parents or murder? Well, according to Paul, it all is lumped together. It's all the same. It's a serious thing. So parents, it's a serious thing when your children disobey. It's not a light thing. It's not something we sweep under the rug and say, well, they'll get over that, or that's okay. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter really if it's a big deal in your eyes or not. It's a big deal in God's eyes, and we are instructed to deal with that and to correct it. So, let's go on here and look at some of the things that the Bible says about it. We get our instruction from the Word. That is critical to us. We do not receive our instruction in any part of our lives from this world. There's all sorts of wisdom out there on how to raise children, how to discipline children, how to train them, what you should do, what you should not do. There's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of talk shows talking about it. But all that is foolishness if it's not from the Word. We do not receive our instruction from this world. We receive our instruction from God. And so I want to look at a number of passages here that deal directly with the discipline and training of our children. And I exhort you and I admonish you. Paul talks about this in Corinthians. We're talking about this on Wednesday night in our Bible study. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6, he says, Paul says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak wisdom in a mystery. And so, and he goes on there talking about the wisdom of God. And so he says there, the wisdom of this age is passing away. These rulers are passing away, and the wisdom of this age is passing away. If you look through the last 10 years, you'll come up with all sorts of different things on how to raise your children. It changes from generation to generation. It's different. How should you discipline? How should you train? The wisdom of this world will change continually because men die and new men step up in their place and give their wisdom. And so we have here the wisdom of God, the wisdom that does not pass away, the wisdom that does not change, the wisdom from age to age that stays the same and that is applicable to every age and every time and every person. And so this is where we go for our wisdom and for our understanding. So let's look at a few passages here in the Proverbs. The Proverbs are full of wisdom. And so if you want to turn to Proverbs, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. I did want to say this also concerning wisdom, that we do not receive wisdom just from one another either. We do go to our elders. We go to those who are mature, and we seek their wisdom and counsel. Certainly, we should, and we're told to do that. But we weigh that wisdom upon the Word. And if that wisdom that is given from our peers and such is not consistent with the Bible, then we throw it out. A good example of this, we don't have to turn there, but after Solomon died and his son became king, the people came to him and said, I forget his name, I should have written it down. They came to him and said, your father was very hard. He had all these things and rules and taxed us and all of these things that he did. It was very hard, the labor that he put upon us. Lessen it. And he said, well, come back and I'll tell you what I say. So he seeks the counsel of these men who served his father, and they say, if you lighten the burden, these people will serve you forever. And then he asks the counsel of his peers, those that he grew up with, it says. And they say, no, make it harder. And so that's what he does. He follows the counsel of his peers. Poor counsel. And the people rebelled against him. And that was it. They turned. And there was a separation in Israel from then on, from Judah and the rest of the tribes. And so the counsel from our peers, we need to be careful. We need to weigh it upon Scripture. Because so often counsel just from other men, especially our peers, can be tainted. And we need to consider it in light of the Scripture. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, he says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Notice again that he talks there about the father. He doesn't say the mother. The father corrects the son in whom he delights. Fathers, are you correcting your children? Or is it just your wife who does the correcting? I'm not saying wives and mothers don't correct. They certainly do. I'm gone, 10, 11 hours a day, I'm gone. And so my wife is home alone with the children. She better be correcting those children, because otherwise they're not getting what they need. But when I'm home, I lead in that. I take the lead role. You know, if there's a spanking that needs to be handed out, I'm going to do it because I'm the father and I'm leading in that. I'm setting the example and I'm saying, I'm not replacing mom when I get home, but I'm saying I'm right there with mom. Mom's spanking you when I'm gone. When I'm here, I'm reinforcing everything mom just got done doing for these last 10 hours. What mom did was right, and now I'm spanking you. We're on the same team here. It's not one against the other. It's not mom's the good one and I'm the bad one, or I'm the good one and mom's the bad one because she spanked you and now I don't. We're on the same team. So fathers, lead in this. So, children, he says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves as a father his son. Children, your mother and father love you when they discipline you. It's not because they don't like you. It's not because they don't love you. But the fact that they discipline you shows you that they love you. You may not understand that. I know I did not fully understand that when I was a child. But it's true. It is true. It is for your good. It is for your benefit that you are disciplined, that you are spanked, because it's good for you. And we're going to see that as we go through some of these other proverbs. But it's not because they don't like you. It's because they do love you. It'd be easier just to sweep it under the rug and say, forget about it. I hate spanking my children. It's a terrible thing. But it has to be done. It has to be done because we love you. So, that's what the verse says there. If you love your children, you're going to discipline them. You're going to chasten them. Let's look then at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He says, He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And so, again, we already talked about the idea there of love. But he puts it here in the negative. You know, in the other verse there, it says, if you love them, you'll discipline them. Here he says, if you don't, you hate them. Okay? Parents, do we hear that? Do we understand that? If you're not going to discipline your children, you hate them. You're not showing love. You're not showing compassion. You're showing contempt. You're saying, I don't care about you. Do as you will. I'm more important. My time is for me. You go do what you will. It's about me. You hate your children if you will not discipline them. This has not come from me. This comes from the Word. This is what God says to us. So, He says there, if you love Him, you'll discipline them. And he says there with his rod, talking about the rod. Here's our method of discipline. Again, the world will tell you differently. The world will tell you, well, don't spank your children. You put them in time out. Okay? Well, the time out is of the devil. Okay? I'm being serious here. You know, we're laughing because we put it like that, but that's the truth.
Right.
You put your children in time out, what have you done? You've taken an angry child, or maybe you've made an angry child because you've told them no. So now you've made them angry. You've placed them in the timeout chair to fester and to whine and to cry and to just show their utter contempt for you. The Bible says, use the rod. And that's what is meant. Forsake the wisdom of the world and lay hold of the wisdom of God. He says, use the rod, use the rod. What is the rod? Well, that word can be used for a staff or a club. And one other thing I wrote down here, a scepter. Okay? So what is it? That's what it is. That's the rod. Okay? Get you a rod, parents. Get an age-appropriate rod. I have two rods in my home. One for Lizzie and Josh and one for the other two. Okay? Because one, they're a lot smaller. It still hurts. Still hurts a lot. But it's an age-appropriate rod. Get a rod and use it as the Lord has commanded us. So, the method there is the rod. And he says there diligently. Okay, this is critical. This is important that we understand the idea here of diligence. We maybe would translate that or understand it, not translate, but understand it as consistency. Okay? Diligence translates into consistency in our lives. If we are to truly be doing the work of the Lord in the raising of our children, we will be consistent. That means every time your children offend, whatever it might be, whatever the rule was, or it is dealt with. It's not we only deal with it when they put us over the edge, right? Okay? I'm sure we've all experienced it. Who here has done that? I know I have. I've waited. I've waited too long. I've given leniency out of love. Oh, just overlook that. Okay? And then before you know it, it's grinding on you. You're like, oh, that's it. It snaps. You're like, that's it. Get to the study. You're getting a spanking. Okay? No. If it's consistent, if it's diligent discipline, they won't be that anger and that frustration because it's being dealt with every time. Now, I shouldn't say there won't be. It won't be as bad. Okay, Your children might be stubborn and strong-willed, and so it may be hard. It may be difficult. It will be, most likely. But we need to be consistent. We need to be diligent. And we need to do it every time. It's not just when it gets on our nerves. It's not just when something gets broken. Okay? Just because something gets broken in the home, you know, so often I find myself doing that. The kids break something. And it's like, oh, they need a spanking for that. Well, they weren't doing anything wrong necessarily. You know, they were playing, or, you know, they weren't really breaking the rule, but something got broken. Were they breaking the rules or not? You know, that's the thing. Just because something breaks doesn't mean that's deserving of a spanking. It's, were they breaking the rules? And if nothing gets broken, well, then it's okay. They can do that. We can let them do that as long as nothing gets broken. We don't discipline like that. We have the rules. We have an understanding with our children. They know what's going on. And that has to do with, we'll probably deal with that later, about provoking them. The children need to know what is acceptable and what is not acceptable.
Yes.
And that is how we discipline. When they know what is acceptable and what is unacceptable, it's fair game. Discipline is fair game. It's right. It's good. It's proper. It's consistent. It's diligent. It's pleasing to the Lord. And that's our goal in this, right? What's our number one goal in life? To glorify God, yes. Okay? What's the number one goal as we discipline our children? To glorify God. Our number one goal is not the salvation of our children. Our number one goal is not well-behaved children. Our number one goal is not productive citizens in a society. Our number one goal is God's glory. That's why we do this. That's why we take His Word and we apply it to our lives. That's our goal. Now these other things, well, I certainly pray and hope that all those things become true of my children. You know, I pray for their salvation. I pray that they become good citizens and productive. I pray that they're well behaved. But I do what I do because God has commanded it and I seek to glorify Him. That's why we do it. We do it out of a love for God and a love for our children. That's why we do what we do. Not looking for some outcome, but looking to God for the outcome. Our discipline will not save our children. That's of the Lord. That's in the Lord's hands. We cast them upon Him and say, Lord, be merciful. I will do as You command, whatever it is that the outcome may be. But I'm going to obey. So, got a little sidetracked there. But so discipline, consistency. We need to be consistent. And like I said, inconsistency will provoke us, and it will provoke our children. It's interesting here, this word that is translated diligently, it means to seek early. That could be another translation. He who loves Him seeks Him urgently, or early, both of those. It's used in other places, seeking God, seeking eagerly for God, seeking earnestly for God. And so we seek opportunities to discipline our children. What do I mean by that? It's not like we're looking for every little, you know, little bitty thing, but when we see it, we deal with it. We deal with it immediately. We don't pass it over. So that's what that word there is. It's seeking Him early. Also, I think we could take from that we need to discipline our children at a young age. So often, parents wait. And we're going to look at another verse here that talks about... maybe we'll just read that real quick. 19:18 ties in perfectly. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. There will come a time where there is no hope. It's too late. They're grown. They're set in their ways. There's nothing you can do. There will also come a time when it's a whole lot harder, when they are set in their ways, and it's going to be 10 times harder to change them. Okay? Discipline them early. Discipline them young. You can teach a 1-year-old all sorts of things. You can teach them the word no. And you can teach them what that means and how that should be applied. They don't have to be able to speak sentences before you deal with your children. You can tell them no, and once they know what that word means, every time they offend, it should be a spanking. It's not a talking to. The Bible doesn't say, converse with your children and convince them that you are right. It says, deal with them with the rod. When you say no, the rod comes out next. Not one, two, three. The rod. No chances. They had their chance when you said no. That's it. So, deal with them at a young age. And from personal experience, I can tell you it's a whole lot easier the younger you start. I remember our pediatrician. He was not a converted man, but he gave us some good counsel when we were wanting to put our kids to bed early. He told us start early. And he said, I have four or five children. I don't remember how many, but he said, with my first one, we didn't put her to bed early. We just kind of let her run the home as far as bedtime goes. And whatever, she's 10 now. And the other three go to bed just like that. They still struggle with that 10-year-old to get her to go to bed when they put all the other ones to bed because they did not start early. And so his exhortation to us was start early. Get it done early because it's a whole lot easier. And that's the exhortation from the Word. That was good wisdom from that man. And so apply it. Apply it in all areas of your life with your children. So there will come a time when it will be too late, and that time could be very young. He says, if you're not going to do this, you're going to be seeking their death. And we've already talked about that. You hate them if you don't discipline them. In Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Again, we see the rod there. We see the rod removes what? What does it remove? Foolishness. What is foolishness, people, folks? What is it? Proverbs talks a lot about foolishness, doesn't it? Where does foolishness lead? Death, destruction. That's everywhere in the Proverbs. The contrast between a fool and a wise man. The fool is on his way to hell. Your children are on the way to hell. Okay? That's the reality of it. That's the truth. Use the rod. Drive that foolishness from them. You know, it's easy to see foolishness in your children. At least I sure can. I mean, I'm always telling my boys, that's just, you're being foolish right now. Just stop it. You know, there's a lot of foolishness in our children, and we need to drive it from them. We need to teach them wisdom. We need to give them good instruction as to what is foolishness and what is not. And we need to use the rod to drive it from them. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. Says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. I was talking with somebody one time about this verse, and they said, surely that's not what that means. And I was young, and I had never studied it. I just knew it. I just knew that verse. And the King James translated it, you shall beat him with the rod. And, you know, you think that, you know, no, that's not what that means. That's what it means. You shall beat him with the rod. You shall strike him with the rod. The definition that I found in my Greek lexicon was with a single non-fatal blow is what that word strike means. To beat, to strike, with a single non-fatal blow. I'm a firm believer in a one spanking and it's over. Some folks are not. But one thing is certain, it should be painful. How do you drive a child from what he's doing if there's no real consequence for it? If all you're going to do is kind of slap him on the hand and send him on his way, why does he care? It deters them from this, right? There's consequences to sin. That's what you're teaching your children. We're going to go on here. The next proverb talks about rod and reproof. It gives wisdom. You're teaching your children when you discipline them. You're teaching them there are consequences to sin. The sooner they learn that, the better. How many young people are out there who'd have no idea that there are consequences for sin or don't even care? What are you teaching your children? That there are true consequences for sin or that it's Whatever you want is fine, little Johnny. Just try to get along, you and me, and you try to do what I want. No, there's consequences if you're going to disobey me. You're going to be beaten with the rod. And I'm going to drive that foolishness from you and save your soul from Sheol. That's the word. That's the truth. So it should be painful. It should be a deterrent. And we should deliver their soul. Proverbs 29:15. I already kind of quoted part of that. 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." The rod and reproof bring wisdom. Kind of tie in a little bit there. In Ephesians, going back to our original text there, it says, "Discipline them, or nurture them in the discipline and admonition." Admonition there is teaching and training, exhorting them. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof teach our children good from bad, good from evil, right from wrong. That's what the rod does. Rod and reproof. We also teach our children when we discipline them, right? We don't just spank them and send them on their way. We spank them and we say, "Now listen, this is why you got to spank him. This is what you did. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. This is why I have to do this. This is why you shouldn't do what you did." You know, it's not a half-hour discussion necessarily, but we teach them. We use that time to teach our children why it is important that they obey. What are the consequences of sin? And so on. So this verse then goes on and says, "But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." Who gets his own way? A child who is unrestrained, that could also be translated. A child who exerts his own will. When we discipline our children, we should be seeking to break their wills. You know, this world says don't break your child's will, don't damage his self-esteem, don't hurt his psyche. Well, let me tell you, if you don't, you're looking to raise a monster. You're looking to raise someone who is going to exert their own will in every area of their life, with no regard for anyone else. The Bible here says that an unrestrained child brings shame. Restrain your children. Break their wills. Our wills were broken at one point in time when we were saved, right? That's what our Heavenly Father did to us. He broke our will so that we could say with Jesus, "Not my will, but thine be done." Look at the example of Israel. Israel were a rebellious people. And what did God have to do to break them? 70 years of captivity. 70 years in Babylon. Utter destruction. They continued to seek after their own pleasures and other gods. It wasn't until after that time that finally they turned from their idols. Break your children's wills. Bend them to your own. A child who seeks the will of his father is a child that is pleasing to the Lord. Break your children's wills. It's hard. I know. I have a very strong-willed child. It's torture. It's difficult. It's not fun. And it takes much grace and patience and seeking the Lord. But it is well worth it. When you have broken that child's will and you have his heart, what more is there? That is what we desire. So break their wills, bend them to your own, get their hearts, get them to desire your will and not their own. So that is how we discipline. Ephesians goes on there and says, in the admonition of the Lord. All of these things are done in the Lord, right? I mean, we do these with the wisdom of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. That's what we just got done talking about here with the discipline. Well, the admonition, the exhortation, the teaching is also in the Lord. And let me encourage you and exhort you, Proverbs is the perfect place to teach and to train your children in the Lord. The first seven chapters of Proverbs, Solomon continually says, "My son, listen to my instruction." Heed my wisdom. Listen to me. It's over and over again. In Proverbs 2, he says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." And he goes on there and he talks about wisdom. Teach your children these truths from Proverbs. Train them in the admonition of the Lord. Teach them. If we are we should be not only disciplining. I mean, that's a big, that is a huge part of our lives as parents, really. I mean, it's constant. At least it is in my home. Disciplining my children. Hopefully it gets better as they get older, and I think it has. But that's a big part. But another huge part is the teaching of our children, admonishing them and exhorting them from the Scripture. This is what God says. This is what is true. This is what wisdom is. This is what understanding is. This is where foolishness will lead you. This is where wisdom will lead you. Teach them, instruct them. You know, that's where family devotions come in. You know, time where we teach our children the wisdom of God, where we instruct them from the Word. We admonish them, we exhort them, we encourage them. Okay? It's not just discipline. That's a huge part of it. But another huge part of it is the training and the admonitions from the Word. Okay, again, where do we get it? We're not just reading them some kind of fluffy stories at our family devotion times. We're teaching them from the Word. We're teaching them truths from Scripture that they can apply to their lives, right? We don't just want to teach them Bible stories. We want to teach them the principles of those stories. We want to teach them principles from Proverbs that they can apply and live by. And that when they do disobey, we can point out and say, "Now this is what you've done wrong. This is what we just talked about last night in Proverbs. And so you see here that God has said this, you did that, and so now you're going to get a spanking." We teach them, and we train them, and we use the Word. So, that is what Ephesians is talking about there. When he says fathers, he's exhorting the fathers to do this, and I'm exhorting you fathers and you mothers. You mothers have just as big a role to play when Dad's gone. Do not become lazy. Amanda and I often have to sit down. We'll be talking, and we just have to say, you know, we've really slacked off. You know, we're seeing here that we haven't been getting on them for this and that. They're kind of starting to do this, you know, and we have to re-examine what we're doing and say, okay, we need to crack down here and get back on the right road. We're getting off the beaten path here with other things. And so, you know, you're going to have to do that from time to time and re-examine what you're doing and how you're doing it. And use instruction from the Word. Real quickly here, just in closing here, a few things that I think we've kind of talked about, but I just want to point out again. Why don't we discipline our children? One, we're lazy. It's work, folks. It's really work. It's hard. It's no fun. We said that. But your laziness will prove the destruction of your children.
Yes.
And so laziness is an excuse, but it is certainly not an acceptable one. It's condemned by God. The fear of man, we're afraid of what somebody might think of us. Whether it's in the store, you know, I'm not afraid to spank my children in the store. I don't care what anybody says. It's not against the law. And if they need it, they need it. The Lord has told me to do it, and His commands trump any other commands that we may be given. If there does come a day when spanking is against the law, what are we going to do? We're going to spank our children. Because we do not fear man, we fear God. We don't care what man says. Shall we obey man or God? So come to the settled conclusion there that we will obey God. Selfishness, my time. You know, how often do you see parents who are engaged in their football game or engaged in their conversation and they're unwilling to deal with the issue at hand, the raising of their children? You know, their children are just doing something terrible and they're just ignoring it because they want to do what they want to do. Their time now. Selfishness. Laziness and selfishness. Another excuse is ignorance. You know, I've talked with somebody recently. They just didn't know some of this stuff that we've been talking about. And they had recently come to an understanding of it. Well, you're no longer ignorant. You've been exhorted from the Word. And then lastly, like I said, it's hard work. Now, why do we discipline? We just real quickly here. What is the reason? Well, sin, rebellion, right? You know, disobedience, whining. What is whining and complaining? What does the Lord say about it? What is the example that we're given of Israel again? Well, murmuring, complaining, whining. That's sin, folks. That's not children being children. Well, it is, but it's children being sinful. It's children being disobedient. And you tell them to stop whining and they continue, they're in rebellion. They're exerting their will. We discipline them for that. That's what we are to do. We discipline for foolishness. We discipline for laziness in our children. You know, some of us, some children are just lazy and they won't do what you have them do because it's work. We need to discipline for that. How do we discipline never in anger? You know, I think I said that before, but be careful. When you cross that line from don't discipline in that attitude of anger, you maybe need to pass it off to the other spouse, or you just need to tell your child, look, just go to your room for now and I'll come get you in a little bit when I've settled down and we'll deal with this. But never discipline in anger. Always in love, always in patience, in kindness and gentleness. But that's hard. You know, that it's easy. It's easy to take your anger out on your children. And so I'm encouraging you, be careful there. Don't do that. You know, I have down here something else, and I'm just going to say it, but, you know, crying for mom and dad. You know, mom's sitting there holding the baby, or whoever, the little one, and they're crying for the other one. Because, well, you just spanked them, or because they just are angry at you. Well, that's sin. To give in to that is just to encourage the will of your children. When you're holding that child and you're holding them for a reason, really doesn't matter if there's a reason or not. If you want to hold that child, he needs to sit in your lap and be still. Crying and whining, wanting the other parent is just rebellion. That's all it is. Exerting their wills. They want what they want and they want it now. And when you give in, you encourage them. You just give in and say, well, your will is stronger than mine. Your will is more important than mine. Do as you will. And I'll sit here by and hope for the best. That's from the devil. It's wickedness. It's evil. It's not pleasing to the Lord at all. We already said where we get our counsel, where we get our instruction. We get it from wise men. We get it from the Word, first and foremost. And we certainly seek counsel. I have sought much counsel from other men, particularly my father, because he is much older and much wiser than I. There are many men here that are older and wiser than some of you young parents. You need to seek their counsel. And you need to listen to it. You need to be able to receive correction. You need to be able to receive instruction. We need to be humble. You know, Bob preached on the ministry of rebuke. Well, that requires humility. And in order to receive anything, in order to receive anything that I said today, and what Bob said last night, and what anybody's going to say the rest of this weekend, we need to be humble. We need to be willing to listen to the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. And then lastly here, a word to you grandparents. I don't know what I see some that will be shortly maybe, and others. Either way, well, there's some over there I see. You grandparents, you aunts and uncles, okay? Don't hinder mothers and fathers in the discipline of their children.
Right.
You know, it's easy. It's easy to do. You're not with them all day, every day. You're not dealing with the problems. All you're seeing is cute little Johnny. Oh, he's so sweet. He's my grandbaby. He's my little niece, or my little nephew. This one's my niece. Hopefully you're not naming your niece Johnny. But You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't hinder that. Don't hinder parents. You know, that's a terrible thing. When grandparents spoil their children or their grandchildren, and it's okay to spoil them with stuff, I guess, but when you spoil them in the sense of anything goes when I'm here, that's wrong. That's not pleasing to the Lord. So be careful, you aunts and uncles, grandparents. Be careful of that. And don't hinder the work of the parents. Be mindful of it. And be careful what counsel you give, grandparents and aunts and uncles. Make sure that it's biblical, godly, good counsel. Not just your own thoughts from the world. Well, that's all I have. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would apply these things to all of us, and that we would be searched by your word and led by your spirit. We ask that you would instruct us and that you would help us. We ask that you would work in our children, make us consistent, make us be those parents that you've called us to be. We ask, Father, that you would save our children. We know we do all for your glory, but we certainly desire their salvation. And we ask that you would be merciful to them, work in their hearts and change them, conform their will to yours, that they would love you as they should. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.